It's going to sound strange, but up to actually page 415. We're going to learn the note on page Tav Tesvav all the way at the end. We have a lot to go to. We actually get there through the Sefer, but the first note is on page Tav Tesvav. Now, we're learning here in Ayekar that true chayrus can only be achieved when a person is mischaber to the asmis of who he is. If not, then the person can be, throughout his entire life, fighting for some great ideal or cause that's not actually him, and as a result of that, he's not able to achieve the chayrus that he's looking for. So, the reason that it's so important, we're not going to do all of the notes. It's a long note. We're not going to probably finish it right now, but it's so important because it really establishes the misgeras and the basis of the pnimius of all that the Machab is going to be talking about in the coming chapters. So it's important to do. So all the way to the back on page Tav Tesvav, where it says Nispachim, 1. Dorvezer Mushrash Bisvarim HaKadoshim Besod HaChachma VaHabina. Now over the years we've spent a lot of time talking about the two Midas Elyonis of Chachma and Bina. And what we're learning, this whole Torah that we're learning regarding the question of Ayeka and this search for Atzmius, which is really what Pesach is all about and what Yiddishkeit is all about, it's all rooted in an understanding of these two Midas of Chochma and Bina. Yidua hadavar shehacheres mushreshes bebina. Cheres is rooted in the midah of freedom, is rooted in the midah of bina. Va'atzmius, and the essence, the self, the I, is shorosha b'chachma. Its shorosh is in the midah of chachma. Besod kodesh Yisrael Hashem, reishis tuasa. Now remember, we're not just on a very, very basic level. Everybody knows that after keser, we're not talking about now, but after Keser, the Midas of Chachma and Bina are the two highest Midas. And Chachma is the beginning of that, is the beginning of Hashem's making himself aware to the person and making his presence known to the world. That's Chachma. Chachma is Reishis, is the beginning. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tevuasa. Chachma is that first machshava, that first thought. And bina is from the word binyan, livnos, building. Lahavin dover mitach dover. Bina is understanding. So the Navi talks about doing tshuva. So the Navi says, the Navi Yishaya says, ulavavo yavin, yashuv yashuv. That the heart understands, the person understands, and tshuva comes through this way of thinking, through Bina. And we've spoken many, many times over the years. Chachma corresponds to the male quality. Bina is the female. Bina Yisrael and Elisha is the feminine. So what he's saying here is that Cheres is tshuva, Cheres being free, is rooted in Bina. And the Atzmius, the I, the essence of the person, the Sharish is in Chachma, which is the beginning. Now we're going to spend the rest of this note just to explain what that means. In the life of a person, the way to understand Chachma and Bina is that the Koach HaBina is Bahafas Ara Chachma, Ketipas Zera Shnitan Berechem Haim. The same way that in order for a child to be born, there is that tipa, that drop, that comes from Chachma, that comes from the male, from the zachar, from the father, and that is received in the rechem, in the womb of the mother, the child, and the baby comes into existence through that through that zivug of chachma from the male, which is the beginning, which is that tiny beginning, that reishis, and then the baby is developed, like bina, which means livnos, built. Then the baby develops inside the mother's womb. Below tipazu, without that initial drop, lo yivlad, there can't be a child. Kach gam beside acheres. Well, the other marshal that's found in this farm, of course, is that the Rebbe gives over an idea to the Talmud, to the student, and the student takes that idea and it germinates inside of his mind, and the Talmud takes that idea and develops it and then works it through to Das, connects to it and how it applies to his life and so on. So kach gam besod hacheres. So it is when it comes to cheres, to being free. What cheres means, to be truly free. Not to imagine that you're free because you're doing what you feel like doing. We were talking a lot about that last week. Tibamis, what cheres is. What's cheres? Kach gam besod hacheres. Lo garin kodesh atzmi. Unless there's that garin, that seed, of what kodesh atzmi. Kodesh atzmi means the kedusha that comes from the etzem of who you are. That seed of the essence that comes from a higher place. Without that, below garin kodesh atzmi, which is soid ha'atzmius, which is the mystery or the secret of atzmius, shu atoichen ha'chiyuvi ha'atzmi, shemavakesh lehofia, which is that tochen of that tochen chiyuvi. Chiyuvi means positive of life and so on, of ha'atzmi, of the self, shemavakesh lehofia, that wants to emerge in life. So a person is not connected to that seed of who he is and who she is, the etzem of who he or she is. Each one of us has that neshama shenasata be, the essence, and the essence wants desperately to emerge in the person's life as a marshal of a baby, as a child, as something that has a life that exists. And if there is no seed that comes from the essence, from that which is kodesh, that's why the pasuk says, "Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasa." The Jewish people in this world, Am Yisrael is kodesh, is the reishis, is the seed of all creation. And with Am Yisrael, Hashem has seeded all of creation. It's up to the world to either receive us or to reject us, to either receive what Am Yisrael is bringing to the world, or to reject what Am Yisrael is bringing to the world. But that's kodesh, reishis, the beginning, the seed. Sometimes there's it does take place. There is that joining together of chachma and bina, but then there's lo aleinu, there's a miscarriage, or the God forbid the baby is stillborn, the baby doesn't survive. I've mentioned many times that's what Arizal says, that even that when the Kohen Gadol will go into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, he would say a tefillah katsara, a very short tefillah, when he would go into Kodesh Kodashim. One of the things he asked for was shlo tapil isha pri bitna, that no woman should have a miscarriage. One of the things that he davened for, which is nice. A lot of wonderful things he could have davened for, but shlo tapil isha pri bitna, not to miscarry. It's not only talking about, God forbid, a woman miscarrying a baby. But it means that in each and every one of us, there is that coupling that takes place through the deepest part of who I am, that's called chachma, that first thought of who I really am, the etzem, and that needs to develop in the womb of my mind and my heart as I mature. And when the Kohen Gadol is saying, shlo tapil isha pri bitna, that no woman should miscarry, it means It means that we shouldn't miscarry those pure thoughts of Yom Kippur. We shouldn't miscarry. We should, in other words, we should be able to give birth to full-term thoughts and feelings that come from the racious, from the deepest part of who we are. Because on Yom Kippur, we often have, on Yom Kippur, we're able to connect to that racious, to the beginning, to the etzem, to the eye. We don't play games on Yom Kippur. So you come to that part, especially by Ne'ili, you come to that eye, the etzem. So on Yom Kippur, a person is able to answer the question of Ayeka, who are you, where are you? So now the davening is, the Kohen God will daven, Shal Taplisha Pribidna, that may this not be miscarried in the womb of our of Bina. Chokhmah should not be miscarried. But Chokhmah should be able to, there should be a healthy zivug between Chokhmah and Bina, and they should come forth in that person's life, in his day-to-day life, there should come a healthy child, which means in the midas of going through Das and Chesed Gvur Tiferes, that it should bring something much better into the person's life. It shouldn't be miscarried. So when it comes to this, to Cheirus, he says, Kach gam, besod ha-Cheirus, below garen kodesh atzmi, sod atzmi, shu toich na-chiyuvi, ha-atzmi, shemavak yishlafi, ein klal mokam le-Cheirus. A person cannot really experience Cheirus, I'm not going to have to translate each time, but Cheirus, freedom, Cheirus. A person can't truly experience Cheirus unless there is this zivug between Chochmah and Bina. Ein klal mokam le-Cheirus. He might be giving birth to something in his life, but it's somebody else's child. It's not his. It's somebody else's. It's not his own. Which there's a strong word for that. It's really just the word in halacha and in the Torah, but it's a word that we use not in such a pleasant way. But that's called a mamzer. I'm sorry to use a word, but it's not such a nice word. But that's called a mamzer. And a mamzer means it's an illegitimate child. Why is it illegitimate? It's Chananda. It's somebody else's inyan. It's not your inyan. So you gave birth to this woman gave birth to somebody else's child. Hashem Yirachem. So that the word mem zayin reish mum mamzer mum zar means something that's foreign or strange. You can't experience cheres from somebody else's ideas of what your life should be like, or somebody else's emotions. You can only experience cheres if you give birth to yourself, to your own ideas, obviously affected and influenced by things that you learn, and so on and so forth, and experiences that you've had, but it can't be a zar, it can't be somebody else's child. It has to be your own child. You have to give birth to yourself. Otherwise, that's not cheres. You see, free to be yourself. It's not yourself, it's somebody else. That's not freedom. Tnuas ha-cheres bar l'shlol shibudim. Cheres means that there are no shibudim. There's no zaras. There's nothing foreign that is restricting you, holding you back. You're not meshubed to something other than yourself. Your life is in your own hands with Hashem's self. Your life is up to you. Your life is not up, you're not meshubed to anybody else. Otherwise, it's not cheres. As long as you're meshubed, physically, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, if you're meshubed, then you're not free. There's somebody that I was talking to that told me that she's never been to Eretz Yisrael. And it's not because of money, it's because she's afraid to go on an airplane. It's a terrible thing, that fear. And she's gone for help and she can't go onto an airplane. So, no, I used to want you to go on a boat. All right, I don't know if that's practical these days, but anyway, she's never been to Eretz Yisrael. So here she loves Eretz Yisrael. She's desperate to see Eretz Yisrael, but she's not free to go. And there's no jail, but it's a terrible fear that she has. It's terrible. People have all kinds of pchadim, and there's a shibud, and she can't do what she wants to do. So anytime there's an El Zar, there's a foreign God, whatever it's called, whatever that anxiety, fear, paranoia, whatever that is, that phobia, that's holding you back from being the person that you want to be and what you and the person that you can be, that's called Shibu, that's called Avdus, then you're an Eved. You're an Eved, but she's an Eved to that phobia, Rahmanis. Another person's a person who goes whole life saying that I really want to be a great father and a great grandfather, a mother, a grandma, but he or she is meshubit to work, or is meshubit to something else, and is not able to be there for his kids or for her kids, whatever it is. So these are shibudim; these are foreign gods. Achienana rak tnuah shalelas er garina hichiyuvi. But freedom is not only an issue of getting away from something bad. It's not just getting away from the Adon, you know, the master, the owner of the slave. It's not just a matter of getting away from the phobia, the fear, the Eitz Sahara. It's not just getting away. It's chiyuvi. It's being able to identify that drop of chokhmah. That drop of chokhmah means that essence of who you are, of going towards that. Of what is it that you want? What is it that you're working for? What's the purpose of your life? The purpose of a person's life is to be able to return. That's tshuva. That's bina. Levavo yavin v'shav v'rafalo. To be able to return to who you are, to where you come from, to the essence, to the source of your existence. That's tshuva. So all of a person's life is to be able to connect to that seed, that drop that's called chachma, and to develop that, to develop it and so on. What's your goal in life? What's the tachlis of your life? The tachlis is the reishis, is the beginning. Sof ma'aseh b'machshava b'tchila. To come back to the machshava b'tchila of why did God create me? That's the question of Ayeka. What are you doing? Who are you? This is who I created you to be. This is the tachlis of your life. So to come back to that nekuda, it's not just getting rid of the meshabed, of the owner of this, of the master or whatever that is, of getting rid of. It's being driven and motivated and longing to return to who you are. When a person has that longing, that fire of connecting to Chachma, so then he's able to fight against the Mishabdim. You're able to fight against the British in the Revolutionary War, or you're able to fight against the Russians if you're a Ukrainian. But you have to believe in that. You have to believe in the etzem of who you are and what you're fighting for. This is what we're talking about in Chassidus. Of what is it that you're fighting for? You're fighting for your very self, your very existence. And therefore, every single step along the way, every little victory along the way, there's a feeling of tremendous chayrus, even though you're not entirely free yet. But there's a feeling of tremendous chayrus that comes with that. There's already a feeling of chayrus. Soda atzmius. And that's the soda of atzmius, of the self. The answer to the question of Ayeka. And when you're able to answer that question, they say, here I am, hineni, here I am. And you're able to say that, and you know who you are. So then you're able to taste that chayus, that freedom. That atzmius is Or HaChachma. That's the Or HaChachma. That's the light of Chachma. That's the Or HaChachma. Reishis, the beginning. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Reishis to us. There are many words in Tanakh. The Shari Ara tells us, it goes through all the different musagim and the words that are code words for this Midah of Chachma and others that are for Bina. Zo Or HaChachma Shuma Kor HaBina. V'hamofiyat darka. Bina comes from Chachma. And Bina is able to be revealed and expressed only by way of Chachma. Again, you might imagine that this is the tachlis of your life. You might think that the tachlis of your life is to eat in every glakosha restaurant in the world or something. You know, that's your goal in life. That's the tachlis of your life, and you're going to be put in the Guinness Book of World Records or something for having actually eaten in every kosher restaurant. And this is the goal of your life, and you post all your new conquests. You know, every time you're in a new place, you found that there's a kosher restaurant in Guatemala, and you post this new restaurant that you ate in. There's a picture of you having a spare rib in Guatemala, and you say that now you're going to move from Guatemala, and you're on to, you know, Uruguay, that there's also a place there, and you're going to continue on until you're able to complete the tachlis of your life. And maybe at the last place, you'll drop dead and say, Kishma, you know, my dessert. And that's the tachlis of your life. And with that, your hope is to experience like some kind of great lift and some great cheiris through that. Because you imagine that to be who you are. But that's, of course, not who you are. And this is what's going on. The whole world is dragging around having other people's children. Giving birth to Mamzeru. I'm sorry to say such a not nice thing. It's really not a bad word. It's a word in the Torah. It's used in Yiddish. It's not nice. You know. But you're giving birth to somebody else's children. You're giving birth. Sometimes you have a person. You see this sometimes. Yeah, very often someone's goes to he goes to a certain yeshiva. She goes to a certain school, and they say over certain things, and they're saying it's strong, strong, strong. You know. Yeah. Sometimes you have a girl. This happens. I've seen this over the years. A girl that comes from a very, very comfortable, well-to-do family, lives in a beautiful home. She goes to seminary. She hears a year or two of strong, strong, strong. You have to be idealistic, and you have to marry a guy that wants to stay in learning for the rest of his life or something. And she says, "This is all I want to do in my life. This is my purpose in life. This is all I'm going to do. And I'm going to be Maisa Nefesh for Torah." And she goes around telling everybody, "I'm going to be Maisa Nefesh for Torah." And her parents are saying, "Yeah, she's going to be Maisa Nefesh for Torah." And she says, "Maisa Nefesh for Torah." So I'm Maisa Nefesh for Torah. So this sweet little girl from, you know, the five towns, she, and the parents say, "Well, we're not paying for your Maisa Nefesh. You know, you want to be Maisa Nefesh? You really want to be Maisa Nefesh?" She says, "Yes, I'm going to live in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, in Ezra's Torah on Saratskin. I'm going to live in a one-bedroom apartment, and my husband's going to have to learn." She's on the family chat, you know, her sister, you know, waving to her from her back porch, you know, and taking the kids on a cruise to Alaska or something, and she's peeling onions on Saratskin. Now, if that's who she is, and that's the emes of who she is, she's totally free. And the girl on the cruise could be meshuba to the biggest shibit in the world, dragging around on a boat, and the one in Suraskin's peeling onions. Why? Because that's an honest answer to the question of Ayaka. Where am I? I'm on Suraskin peeling onions, I'm the happiest person in the world because all I want to do is to give up my life for Tyra in this way, and I don't need the other stuff. And that's Bemis who she is. And that's Givaldig. But if it's not who she is, and she just was repeating over and over and over the mantra, walking down to the chuppah, "This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I was. This is what I was told to do. I was ordered to do this. This is what I'm told to do." So then she's crying over the onions, not just from the onions. You understand? That's a bitter awakening, a bitter, bitter awakening. And this is not uncommon. This way or that way. But if it's not something, if it's something you were taught, but you never really absorbed it. In other words, there's no real mating of Chochmah and Bina here. Because if we integrate something and we connect to it, it could be opening us up to something which is the deepest part of our neshama. That's what learning Torah is all about. And it's fantastic to be exposed to different teachings of Torah, but it has to be your Torah. We're saying Chalkeinu b'sarasach, not somebody else's Torah. Somebody else's Torah can be helpful, even if it's not your Torah. Every word of Torah is Yahweh kamata lichi tizal katalim rasi. It's beautiful. Every word of Torah is gewaldig. But when you arrange your life according to somebody else's Torah, that means you had somebody else's baby. And that's not kosher. That's not kosher. It's illegitimate. It's an illegitimate child. And it's not going to give you any feeling of cheres, even though you're so frum and everything looks great, and you're not free. You're not free. Goes back to the dance that we were talking about last Friday, the dance in the basement, which I understand I didn't explain enough properly. But you're not identifying with that. You're not truly identifying with all the parts of your personality, of who you are. That's the atzmius. That's the mating of Chachma and Bina. Chachma is the essence of who you are, and Bina is finding ways to develop that. To develop that and to put it into practice in your life. That's Chachma and Bina. And without that, you might be developing something. In other words, you have a strong power of Bina. You're very bright and you're very creative, but you're developing somebody else's, you're raising somebody else's child. You're developing somebody else's ideas, but it's not you. So you might be getting paid a lot of money for that. This guy that's going around to every kosher restaurant, maybe he's getting paid by some newspaper, Jewish newspaper, to report on the food in all the restaurants, and he became a rich guy going to every restaurant. But cheiros, so you might be making a lot of money, but he doesn't have cheiros from that. Doesn't feel, he can't. It doesn't bring him to a place of the. Of simcha, tshuva, of who he is, that can't possibly do such a thing. What is it?
For a certain part in your life, when you're first born, you're a clean slate, and it is somebody else's ideas, it's the Rebbe's ideas, it's Torah, or Hashem, you're raised in a holy environment, then there comes a point where you have to decide for yourself. Is that 13? Is that 18? Is that 15? How do you decide when, you know, they do have to pick up basic.
Well, something happens when a boy is 13 and a girl is 12, because there is that hofa'ah, that appearance of das, that until that time she's not a bas das, and he's not a ben das, a bar das. So there is something on a very deep level that kicks in at that time, although now it generally...
It's
30. 30, very nice. but there is a deep change. There is something very deep on a deeper level. That's actually when the child is spiritually born by the bas mitzvah and the bar mitzvah. But of course, it's a very individual. It's everybody's different, and everybody's affected, influenced by experiences and so on. And it goes back to what I was talking about this morning. What we're learning in Chassidus this morning, that very often one does not discover that nekud of atzmius of chachma. Until you go through something which is very, very difficult and very challenging, which in our generation, I'll say thank God, but we talked about this morning, is often delayed till much later, the challenges and the difficulties. You know, when you hear about some, my wife was sharing something she was reading in a book a couple of weeks ago. I we still don't understand how this kid did it. It was like a 7-year-old kid during the war that made it across Poland, hiding by himself. His whole family was killed, and he survived the war. An 8-year-old, well, 7 or 8-year-old kid. And that, you have to have big koiches to do that, right? You have to have big koiches to do that. An 8-year-old now can't make it across a room that's not air-conditioned in the summer. So how to get across Poland So you're forced into that place of yourself, because it's only in that nekuda of reishis of chachma that you have your deepest koiches. You have to you don't have the luxury of waiting. But nowadays it's very, very delayed, because it's like we were talking this morning. There's that people have the luxury of postponing and waiting, and there's time and. And so very often they never do. They just never do. So everybody's different. There's no answer of when. Everybody's different. Something kicks in at the time of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. But again, it's a very mysterious birth that takes place at that time. because at that time there's truly a melding together of the guf and the neshama, but it takes a tremendous amount of work on the part of parents and learning Torah and mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, to develop and to bring out. But we're not going to the methods right now. That's what throughout the sefer we're going to be working more on. Let's continue. Nevar odes advar. No da hadavar sheyesh shnei arachim. Echad hu soid hakodesh, v'sheni hu sheni soid hatahara. Very often we hear the expression kedusha tahara. Kedusha tahara. There are two expressions that we find in halacha and in chassidus and in Torah bechlal. The two expressions of greatness, kedusha and tahara. And for many people, it's not clear exactly what's the difference between kedusha and tahara. We know that it's somebody that's very, very great, a kodesh v'tahar. So you see, by a tzaddik, it's a kodesh v'tahar. Kedusha v'tahar. What is kedusha and what is tahara? What's kedusha and tahara? V'noyde shaha kodesh hu orachach. So just to get the musagim, to get the concepts, the words straight, when you see the word kodesh, kedusha kodesh means chachma. But tahara is soid habina. Tahara is soid habina. That's shuva, that's the mikveh. Kodesh is the ora chachma, and tahara is the soid habina. She gam soid hatshuva v'acheres kanoda. And bina is, as we learned, is tshuva, and freedom, and chayrus. V'noyde shakoyin ha'gadol mushosh b'chachma. And it is taught, we know, that the koyin gadol is the midah of chachma. Sod ha'kodesh, that's the koyin gadol. That's why he's able to go into the makom kodesh, and the koyin gadol can go into the kodesh ha'kodesh. It's the midah of kodesh. The midah of kedusha is the kohen gadol. L'chein mavur b'zar kodesh, madua para aduma mitzvos adavkir b'lozar kohen askan v'loy kohen gadol. And therefore, the zar kodesh explains why is it that the mitzvah of para aduma is taken care of davkir not by the kohen gadol but by the skan, by the assistant to the kohen gadol. Ki para adum hi sod ha'tahara, because the kohen gadol is the sod of chachma. And the paraduma is the sort of purification, of tahara, of tshuva. Paraduma is tahara, is tshuva. We understand that. Tova ha'em, t'kenech achat so'es ha'ben. Right? Chazal say that let the mother cow come and let her clean up after the child. That the inyan of the paraduma is the mother. The mother is bina, and the mother is tahara, the mother cow. Para aduma is the mother cow. The sod of bina, red means din. Din is gvurus. Gvurus is the nekeva, is the female, and the female is the union of bina and tahara, purification, the fire of purification, and so on. Is the sreifas para aduma, the burning of the para aduma. The kohen gadol is bushra. The kohen gadol is something else. The para aduma is sod ha tahara, sod ha bina. The para aduma is the sod. The Zohar teaches us the para aduma is the sod of tahara. Of the female, that's why it's a para aduma, not a par. Davka the para aduma, and not a bull, but a cow, and it's the meat of tahara, and bina and shuva and so on. The kohen gadol is something else. The kohen gadol is the etzem of kedusha. The kohen gadol is reishis, is the kodesh kedoshim. That's not tahara. The kohen gadol is what you're going back to. Is where you're going. Is the kohen gadol is home base. That's where it comes from. Tahara is the effort that we make to free ourselves from all of the tumah that has been mishabed us, that has enslaved us to other things and taken us away from the kodesh kadoshim, from the kohen gadol, from the etzem. The kohen gadol is the etzem of kedusha, kodesh. The kodesh kadoshim is where we all come from. Adam Rishon was created from that place, and that's where you and I come from. We come from that place. On the Harabayis, that's Kodesh Kadoshim, that's where we come from. We come from the beginning. That's Kodesh, that's the Kohen Gadol. That's Lifnei V'Lifnim Yom Kippur, that's something. The Paraduma is Tahara, because when Because when we leave the Kodesh Kodashim, we pick up all kinds of germs and viruses along the way. We pick up stuff and we become defiled and contaminated by death and by all other difficult, alien, foreign stuff that's out there. And the paraduma means cleansing ourselves. Tahar, that's the midah of the woman, of tahara, of bina, of tshuva, of return, of mikveh, and so on. And that's why that's the paraduma. Therefore, the avodah of the paraduma is not the avodah of the kohen gadol, because that's the midah of kodesh. But we see in Torah that it was davka by Elazar kohen. The paraduma is soida tahara, soida bina, va kohen gadol, aron kohen, soida gadol is mushur shleila, aron kohen is mushur shleila, and something else. That's home base. That's the seed. That's the beginning. That's the Kohen Gadol. Besod HaKodesh. Le'ela mi'or habina, which is higher than the Or Habina. Next page. Im Nisbainein. If we look carefully at this, near we'll see Shel Tahara Yesh Hepach. Tahara has an opposite. Shehi Hatumah. In Halacha. And in Pnimius. These are the two opposites, the two poles. There's Tumah, Tahara. Tahara and Tumah. Masha ain't kein l'kodesh. But isn't it interesting? You ever think about that? What's the opposite of Kedusha? So that's not the opposite of Kedusha. It's the lack of Kedusha. Chol means a halal. Right, a vacuum. So it's not really the opposite. Tumah and Tahara are opposites. They're positive forces. When I say positive tumma, I don't mean that it's good, but it's a force. It's a presence. It's not darkness that's the absence of light. It's vayomish chayshich mamish. Masha ein kein lekaydish ein bo hepach. Ki hu or ha'oymed mimal lahavayis ha'hafachim. This kaydish is reishis, and reishis is, one second, transcends the two poles. It's higher. It's overlooking the system. It's the reishis. It's the beginning. It's the nekud ha-pnimis. It's before the division of cells, before things started to separate. That's why tshuva can only begin by bina, the same way that ra can only begin by bina, because bina is only by bina is there that possibility of the division of separation. It's only by bina. Chacham is echad. Chacham is hakaydish. Right? That's Rav Kook. There is hakaydish. Chacham is hakaydish. That's echad. And echad in one, there's no inner of an opposite. There's no opposite. It is. Thus is thus. It is. So, there's no opposite. It's only when you have the base of Bereishis that we can already start having all kinds of tzaras. The second that there's a base, the second there's a second, another, when there's another, when there's another, so then there could be tumah. But in the world of kodesh, of reishis, of the beginning, so hakol echad, everything is echad. There's no nisyonis, there's no tumah, there's no opposite of kodesh. There's no opposites. What else do you want to say?
Is it like the neshama tuhari? Neshama is always perfect, and nefesh and ruach can be.
Okay, so I don't want to do that right now, because that's a very important. How do we relate this all this to nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaychem? That's going to take us too far offshore for now. We'll get to it. Kisod ha'hafachim u'b'chinas ha'gvul. Because where there are hafachim, in order that there be opposites, it means that there's a gvul where one ends and there's another. There's a border. When everything is one, there are no borders. It is it. There's no gvulim. A gvul means I'm making a distinction between Aleph and Beis, between Reuven and Shimon. That's a gvul. It means they're two. That's why creation begins with Beis, because before creation, even the word before creation doesn't mean anything. But when there was no world, so there was everything is just Echad. There's no, ain't shum davar acher. You can't even say that there's nothing else, because it's silly to talk about nothing else, because the lashon of nothing else is already in a world where there's the possibility of something else, to say that there's nothing else, because the whole concept of else doesn't exist in that mitzias of echad. Therefore the world was created with the letter beis, because now we're talking about the appearance of there being something else. The truth is everything is echad, yachad miyuchad, the way that it was before. Ani Hashem lo shenisi. But there's Hashem created this world where things appear in that way of the other. So there's bechira and there's tshuva, because you can make mistakes. When there are choices, you make mistakes. And there are choices, then you can try to give birth to something that's not you. That's not the etzem of who you are. You imagine yourself to be somebody else. That's in the world of bina. That begins in the world of bina. That's not in the world of the of chachma, the kohen gadol. That's not the world of kodesh kadashim. That's when you leave the kodesh kadashim. He called davar sheyesh lo hepech hu mugbal. Ki hagvul shelo hu hadavar ha-hafchilo. What's the gvul? The gvul is the opposite. The border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz is the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. And that transition takes place at the border. Shemagbilo, so the word gvul, border, is the same word as lahagbil. Lahagbil means to restrict, to restrain, to hold back, to contain. That's the meaning of gvul. That's what a gvul does. Kach hatahara mugbelas ki atuma hafachisla. Therefore, once you leave the Kodesh Kedoshim, then you have a whole avoida of tumah tahara. I came into contact with tumah. I better take care of this. I have to come to tahara. How do you come to tahara? Oh, at the time there was a mikdash. There was a now. Okay, but whatever that, I have to reverse the matzav I'm in, because I got myself entangled into tumah. And I have to reverse the matzav of tumah with tahara, and hold on as much as I can to the tahara. But tahara and tumah, there's already a hafachim. That's the world of bina. I mean, in that place, there are already mistakes that I made. There's already you could already have double vision. Instead of seeing things clearly, you could already make mistakes. I think this is it. It's not that. That's only in the world of bina, of going from the number two, after one. Kodesh is or elokus atzmi. Or elokus atzmi. In that place of or elokus atzmi, that's the seed of chachma. In or elokus atzmi, le'ela le'ela. Which is why we say le'ela le'ela twice by Yom Neroim. Without going through the problem of that right now. But to come to the highest madrega, ve'en lo gvul, ve'en lo hepach. In that place of le'ela le'ela, of chachma, of kodesh kedoshim, en lo gvul. There are no gvulim. Therefore, we even see that in the Beis Hamikdash itself, that there was a bitl of certain gvulim, without going into that right now, but it didn't follow the regular laws, the regular rules and regulations of physical space. There were already hints in the Beis Hamikdash, you know, that how can you can get, no matter how many people are there, right? Revocha. So, Mishtachim Revochas, there's room to, and that the, and the Aron didn't stim with it. It's in this week's parish. It's true. It didn't stim with the Aron, the size of the Aron, the space of the Aron. You know, because the Kodesh Kedoshim already smells, even in this physical world, it already smells of something that's without a gvul. Because really it is. This is Hashem created this whole metzias of gvulim, of this world. But in the Kodesh Kedoshim, when you walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim, when you go into that place in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, there's already something that's not with gvulim. It doesn't, and that would spread even to Yerushalayim. That a person ever said that he didn't have a place to stay in Yerushalayim. that when the Beis HaMikdash was there, there was room for everybody in Yerushalayim. What does that mean there was room for everybody? Either there's a free apartment, there's not a free apartment. So there's a place to live, but there's not a place to stay for Shal Shulgal. The other nine, what do you mean there's a place for everybody in Yerushalayim? So the Svarim say a nice thing, that because when everybody's midas were the way they should be, then they were able to make place for somebody else, right? In other words, Yerushalayim was very crowded by Shal Shulgal. It was crazy crowded. But when we were on that madrega of having a Beis HaMikdash, so it didn't bother us that there were too many people, you know, hanging around the house. We didn't feel crowded. When a person's a big person, there's room for other people. That's a nice vart. And that's also part, and there's truth to that, and that's also part of this as well. In other words, when the Beis HaMikdash was here, then Am Yisrael was able to access some of that ur of Chachma in such a way that there were gvulim that no longer were, he was no longer bound to a certain gvulim of physical space, which meant that there's room for everybody. We don't understand what that means. How could one place, there's no room here, so how do you, it either fits or it doesn't fit. That whole thing that it fits or it doesn't fit is only part of the world of Bereishis. It's not something that's, it's not from Le'ela Le'ela. Le'ela Le'ela is not, there's no union of these gvulim. There's no union of hafachim of there being no physical space in this spot. There's no such thing. There's a steer between there being space and not space, between a vacuum and something that's full. There's no steer. That's only in this world of steers of hafachim of opposites. I can't put two things on the same spot. But our mind can't understand what this means. We don't know what this means. The closer one gets to that reality, the more he experiences the chayrus of himself, of that nekuda of the self, which means the more one is bottled to the infinite light of Hashem. So when Chazal say that the true Ben Chorin is only somebody that learns Torah, we spoke at this last week, what do you mean? Plenty of people that learn Torah, they're meshubat, all kinds of stuff. So, but when there's Torah that comes with bittul to our Ein Sof Baruch Hu, it's only the Torah that comes with the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's bittul. There's nothing else. There's only Elokus. It's absolute and total freedom. That's Yovel, that's the Shara Hamishim, that's already this. That's returning back to the beginning, going back to the beginning. That's Chayrus. V'novin shahabina himizakeches umetaheres kedei lahavsheres gili orachachma. Therefore the koach of Bina, Paraduma, Tahara, Mikveh, Tshuva, all of that is to be able to return. Shuva means to return. To be able to return the tahara from the tumah that's holding us back from getting home to the Kodesh Kedoshim. It's keeping us away from home. It's keeping us away from the Kodesh Kedoshim. So the koach of tahara is fighting against tumah. Bina is shuva, fighting against that tumah. So we can make our way back to Yerushalayim, back to the Kodesh Kedoshim. Ke tahara mechina El HaKadusha. V'chein et tshuva v'acheres. And that's the door that leads to tshuva. That's tshuva that leads to cheres. That leads to the person being free. Because you're only free when you get back home. And then you're free to be yourself in your home. That's who you are. That's cheres. K'moshem etzina v'pesach. Sh'yatzonu l'cheres. V'u besoid or ha-bina. Right? So on Pesach we were free. Which is the light of Bina. Sh'yimatzia midei shibut. So that's good. So we got rid of the Egyptians. That's Bina. In other words, we were purified from the filth of Mitzrayim, and we were able to get away from the shibud, the enslavement of Mitzrayim. That's tshuva, that's bina. Ach hinei nizbeina becherus v'nira shirak Torah shorlo shlolios eved. But leaving Mitzrayim is not enough, because all we did when we left Mitzrayim is we were able to get rid of the meshabed. In other words, there was a tahara. So fine, the person goes to the mikveh, but now what? Okay, good. So you're no longer a Tomei. That means that everything is finished? No, it means that the artificial impediment, the artificial gvul has now been removed, and you are free to go home, but you got to go home. You're free to return. But if you don't return, then what? So where are you going? So it's not just a matter of shalolios evid. So Pesach is gevaldik. So we wrote, of avadim hayinu l'parav Mitzrayim, v'hotzian Hashem. So good, we were avadim, and Hashem Yisbach took us out. So I'm no longer an evid. So fine. Ach einu b'deberes al ha-toichen ha-atzmi. But what's the toichen ha-atzmi of what does freedom mean? And that was an education with the whole Sefer Yisayimer, and really through all the thousands of years we're trying to come to that. But that was the Sefer Yisayimer, to come to Myron HaSinai. That's what it means. Bittul Takadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Esadaska Hashem Elokim V'Shamayim Al Ra'asin. There's nothing else. Ein Od Milvado. That's Bittul Ta Hashem. That's what it means to come back to the beginning. So we left Mitzrayim. That's only getting rid of Paro. But getting rid of Paro is not enough. So you go to the mikveh. So Paro is gone. Okay, but now what? You get a guy who goes in the morning. You don't think this has ever happened. I got to go Shabbos morning. He goes to the mikveh. He does 26 tefillos. 65 tefillahs, you know, and then he goes off to talk in shul, goes off to the kiddush club somewhere. So can't happen such a thing. The guy's skin is wrinkled for 6 hours from his mikveh, and while he's having his schnapps and talking to the guys during the haftarah, his skin is still wrinkled. Well, those guys usually come very late to shul, so he might have gone to the mikveh only half hour before anyway. But the fact that you went to the mikveh doesn't mean that you have any meaning in your life. It's not a pot. You remove the artificial thing that's holding you back from davening or holding you back from connecting to Hashem. So you went to the mikveh, it's gevaldik. You have to daven. You have to receive the Torah. So leaving the shrine is not the end of the story. Ach einu deres al tochen ha'atzmi. Makenlios. So now what? So who are you? So now we took away the Meshabed, we took away the foreign God. Fine. But now you have to go to God. You have to go to the truth. V'zau HaKadosh. So we're living in a democracy, and there are many democracies now in the world where years ago there were much fewer than there are now. Most of the world is probably democratic, I guess. I don't know, I'm making a cheshbon, but most of the world is probably democratic by this point. Or some type of democracy, or claim to be democracy, I don't know. But that doesn't mean that 90%, 99% of the population of the world are not avodim. There's a meshabed, there's no longer a meshabed. In other words, so the government's not telling you where you can go. You could travel from here to there, fine. But both places that you're going to are not the place you should be going to. So now the government says, you know, you want to go, you can go to Brooklyn or you can go to Queens. But that doesn't mean that either of those places are the places that you should be going to necessarily. It's just you're free to go wherever you like. So that's what's happening now. What's going on tomorrow? And now it's all going. Now it's turning around. The whole thing is now the democracy is turning itself completely around. And now people are afraid to say what they want to say. And now we have national hate. What's it called? Yeah. Hate day or hate week? I don't know what they made. You heard about this?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Oh, Shabbos.
Yeah, day of hate.
Day of hate.
Yeah, it started already in.
Yeah, so we have next Shabbos, Parsha Zohar. That's what we have, Parsha Zohar. But we should be zochah to erase that hatred before. But our hatred of Amalek is the hatred for those who create a day of hate. It's the hatred of hate. And a person in America is now in America. I don't know if this is... These people are advertising this. I don't know anything. I just heard about this yesterday afternoon. One of the chevra called to tell me, sent me a message about this. And to be careful, you know, the security stuff was going, because all around America, so these are neo-Nazis, I guess.
Yeah.
And then my wife showed me on the phone that it said from different newspapers or television stations, there was a message that or a report on this day of hate warning Jews and other religious communities. Are you familiar with other religious communities that are being threatened by the Day of Hate? I maybe there are. Could be that the neo-Nazis are going to be going after Christians and going against Muslims. I don't against Hindus. I don't know. But But they had to put the, and other religious communities are in danger tomorrow. So that's in America? Such a thing? It's interesting, in America, such a thing? And my daughter was there, and she said, how could this be? How could such a thing be? How could it be that in America, such a thing? How could it be? America is a free country, so you're free also to hate. But hatred itself is paro. Hatred is amalek. Hate, the biggest shiba that a person can have in his or her life is to hate. And my granddaughter was asking, why would somebody hate me if they don't know me? The little girl, she was, how could you hate me if you don't know me? It's a good question, though. How do you hate someone? Where does that come from, such a thing? You hate somebody? So she said, how do you hate somebody? You don't know the person. She doesn't understand. I said, you're right. So how could it be such a thing, a national day of hate? I'm assuming they're going after these people somehow. I don't know what this. It's not legal.
No, we can't do anything unless they do something. It's free speech.
But we know who these people are? Or are they hidden on the internet? Have they identified themselves?
Yes. The police were right there with when they had the megaphones. They were cursing out the police. And the police didn't even get out of the car to arrest the guys.
Because they're not going to be arrested unless they do something. Because they could say whatever they want to say.
Right.
Are you inciting? That doesn't.
That doesn't count.
So this is what became of us. Oh, not us, but of America. So
they can hate. You ask, how do you hate somebody? These people don't hate you. They hate the concept of the Jew.
Oh, you mean they wouldn't hurt my granddaughter? They wouldn't bother my granddaughter. They just hate the concept of my granddaughter.
Right. They don't have to know. They hate the concept.
It's not about hurting anybody.
No.
That was in Germany also, 1932, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. It was just a concept of hate. Until the Brownshire started to...
When there will be no police that will stop it, that's when the ticket is up.
That's right. That's right. So the fact that a person doesn't have a mishabe that's telling him who to love and who to hate doesn't mean that you're free. It doesn't mean that you have so you might have the mishabed. So America is no longer under British rule. No, okay, that's good. But that's the smallest of the shibudim of the English. But the shibudim of other things, of hatred, of the Yetzirah, of chulei v'chulei, those are shibudim that. But unless there's the inyan, the tahara is to be able to get to the rachis, and the rachis is a world without hatred. Now, it sounds a little bit corny, but that's the truth. The rachis is the Kodesh Kodashim. The Kodesh Kodashim means there's no such thing. There's no sinner, there's no tachos, there's no kinna, there's no sinner, there's no tachos. It's a world of elokus, it's a world of Mashiach. There's no hatred. And that's the whole tachlis of this world, is to come to that place of the rachis, which is Mashiach. And until that time, people might think that they're free, and they can march around with megaphones and with flags, with swastikas, and that they're free to march in America with a swastika, you're free to march, but you're meshubit. It's already 80 years plus after the war, and you're still meshubit to the Russia. You're not free. You're free to do it. You're free to hate people. But makenlios zeh kodesh. Makenlios is kodesh. Shunakudis Atzmius. Just finish the sentence. Behind him, Shacheus Balishlo Shibud Lazar. Cheus is first, okay, get rid of the foreign master. Vaidekach, Mizgala Orachochma. But the taklas of that is Kedusha, which means to be Megala, the Orav Chochma. Kodesh Kedoshim. Shuga Kodesh Atzmius, that Nakuda, that drop. Now it's possible. Now that there was a tahara from the paro, from the mishabit, from Hitler Yamachshemo, there's a tahara. The world was purified of Hitler Yamachshemo. So now you can come to Kodesh. You can go back to what? You can return to the Nekuda Pnimis, which is loving and being good. So what happened is that the tumah was removed. The Hitler Yamachshemo was removed. That's the tahara. So the world was dipped into the mikveh, and the Russia was destroyed. And Germany, they were destroyed. Oh, but, so what now? So now where are you going with that? So now you're free. So now what? What do you want to do with that? So you're not free. This is different shibudim. It's not the hell. It's something else. Leos dovuk b'Hashem. Because freedom is only bitul Hashem. It's only dvekus b'Hashem. That's the nekudah of the beginning, and that's the nekudah of Mashiach. Mashiach will continue.